So let's start the bottom of Zayin Amud Bet. And so we began the sugyo of the machlokes between Abba and Rabbi Yosef, whether an individual who was akdish b'shirai, someone who had presented kiddushin through silk, what was the status of that silk. So Rabbi Amar lo tzricha shuma. Rabbi says it does not require a valuation. Rabbi Yosef Amar tzricha shuma does require an evaluation. So now according to the first lashon, which we read yesterday, if he expresses to her that I'll marry you with any value, meaning pruto or more, then everybody agrees you don't need an assessment here because the silk is certainly in excess of the pruto that he needs to marry her. But if he says to her it's worth 50, and the silk doesn't reach that value, then there's nothing to speak about because he didn't give her what he said he was going to give her. He said he would give her 50, so then he doesn't give it to her. Keep ligis. So what's the argument between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef? Damar chamshin v'shavu chamshin. An instance where he says, I'm going to present you with 50 zuz, and the silk is worth 50 zuz in that case. Rabbi Amar lo tzricha shuma d'hashavu chamshin. Rabbi says, what do you need an expert evaluation for? We know that it's worth 50, or the woman thinks it's worth 50, he said 50, so everybody's happy over here. Rabbi Yosef Amar tzricha shuma. Rabbi Yosef says, despite that fact, you still require an expert valuation. Came into itta lo b'kia b'shuma. Since the woman herself is not an expert in evaluating such items, lo samcha dato, she will not marry without knowing for certain that he's given her the 50 zuz that she's entitled to. That's where we stopped yesterday. Now the...
What's the other stuff there? So the woman doesn't know, and no one knows the value of shuma as an expert.
Well, the question here is samcha dato, whether she will rely on the fact that it looks like it's worth 50 and marry on that, or she would hold out and wait for expert valuation before she accepted that as the equivalent value. That even when he says that we will marry with any amount, right, that will work also. Rabbi Yosef Amar Shove Kesef Harihuki Kesef, right? Rabbi Yosef says that something that is worth money, right, equivalent to money, is like Kesef. Ma Kesef Dekaitz. Just like Kesef is a fixed amount. You know what you're getting. Meaning that if you get 100 zuz, you know you got 100 zuz. There's nothing to speak about. Abshav Kesef, Nami Dekaitz. It's going to be the same way that when you use money equivalents, that you must know what you're getting. You can't have a item that you're getting that does not have a determined value. Samar of Yosef, Nami Allah. Where can I prove that to you? From the Tanya. Mikesef miknato. When it's speaking about redemption of certain items, it says mikesef miknato, but kesef hu nikneh, veinu nikneh, b'tzvu'ah b'kelim. The price says that you can use money to acquire, and not tzvu'ah, not grains, b'kelim and utensils. Now Gemara wants to know, hai tzvu'ah kelim hechi dami. What's the case that you cannot use? What is tzvu'ah and kelim? When you talk about a kinyan, right, we know what a kinyan is when it comes to kesef, right? You buy with money and that's a kinyan. What does it mean that you can't use a kinyan of tzvu'ah and kelim? What is a kinyan of tzvu'ah and kelim? Idlim atalo machnu b'hu klau. If you say that you can't use tzvu'ah and kelim to create or generate the kinyan, yashiv ge'ulato amar achmana. The pasuk over there, there's an extraneous pasuk, and based on that, the Gemara Darshan's Yeshiv Yulato means that even if it's not money, but anything equivalent to money will be sufficient to generate a kinyan. So we know that non-money or non-monetary items or equivalent to money items do work to generate a kinyan. So why shouldn't Tzvu'ah and Kelim work over here to generate a kinyan? Someone says, V'idolet l'bahu shav pruta. So what's the other alternative? Why it's not working here is because the grain or the kelim are worth less than a pruta. My area to work healing. What do you have to get involved with non-monetary items? Even if you're using money, I feel kesef nami, even if you're using money, right, less than a pruta doesn't work. So why does it matter if it's to work healing or kesef? Those two are not, right, they're not independent or they're not exempt from this requirement of a minimum of a pruta. El alav, the itbuhu shav a pruta. Must be a case where they are worth a pruta, but came into low kayits, low. And this is perpetually low. So this will prove my point, which Rav Yosef says that since their value is not determined, right, they do not have a fixed value. Since they don't have a fixed value, they do not work, or they're unable to be used in place of money. So this is Rav Yosef's general position that when I'm using things other than money, then they must have a true value, must have an assigned value. You can't just hand them over and say, oh, it's kind of worth, or it is worth. They must have a value associated with it. And same too, when he wants to create kiddushin through shirai, through silk, he must have a determined value to the silk that he's handing over to this woman. Idach, what's idach? That means rabble. Has rabble explained this possible here? Doesn't mean literally what money and money equivalents, but it rather means the type of kinyan. There's a kinyan called kinyan kesef. What's kinyan kesef is when you use money itself to buy something. And there's something called kinyan tvua ukelim. And what is the kinyan of tvua ukelim called? That's called manihu chalipin. That's a kinyan chalipin. It's something we bumped into a little earlier, but that you can generate a kinyan by not necessarily giving the true value of an object, but giving a representative object in order to solidify the transaction. Again, the example we always give is by chametz, when you sell your chametz, right, and the rav is going to do it on your behalf, you do a kinyan chalipin. You take the rav's handkerchief, you take the pen from the rav, you make a kinyan in that, and that allows the chametz to transfer ownership. So even though he's not paying the pen or the handkerchief, he's not worth the value of the chametz, and he's not even presenting to you as the value of the chametz, but he's presenting you as a way to have gemirat hadat, a way to have it that people are focused on the finality of this transaction. So this kinyan tvuah, so the kinyan of tvuah and kelim means, you know, we can use chalipin. So that's what the Gemara is saying over here, that the Torah kesef unikne, you can acquire with monetary, with money itself, you can acquire something, but you cannot acquire these objects, right, this property with a kinyan chalipin. I mean, this Eved Ibri, right, cannot be acquired with chalipin, as opposed to an Eved Kanani, who is property and is equated to property, therefore he can be acquired through kinyan chalipin. An Eved Ibri, you never get what's called kinyan aguf. You never get, all you can buy an Eved Ibri for is his output. You can't buy him for his, right, actual body, value, property. That's not what you're buying him, so therefore a kinyan chalipin will not work in that instance. So my name is Chalipin. Olu Rav Nachman, what are you going to do in Nachman? That's my parrot, lo ate Chalipin. Right, according to Rav Nachman, who says that fruits or produce in general cannot generate Chalipin, and if you use fruits to generate Chalipin, it does not work, then what are you going to say over here when it excludes Torah Chalipin? Tvua is not Torah Chalipin anymore. Why you call the Meimar?
He's Namur, what do we care?
Right, the case where they were less than a shavapruta. So if it's less than a shavapruta, the comrade Mayur at Tvua Kalim, a filukasiv nami. If it's less than a shavapruta, then who cares about Tvua and Kalim? Even money less than a shavapruta does not work. Right, lo mi bayi kamar. This is what it means. Lo bayi kesef ife shavapruta in ilolo. Why a kesef? If it has a shavapruta's worth, then we say it works. If not, it does not work, because that's the definition of kesef. About maybe there is no such thing by produce or kelim. Maybe the minimum of pruta is something that defines what money is. But when it comes to produce and when it comes to other things, right, those items may have value that's beyond intangible value, that's beyond their true worth, which is the fact that they're able to be used. As opposed to money, then you have to go out and buy something with that money in order to use it. Here, if I present you with something that's usable right away, right, that you have wheat or you have a utensil that you can use right away, even though the true value of the object is less than a pruta, but because there's an additional intangible value that I don't have to go out and buy something now, or I don't have to do anything more, that value might lift its value beyond the pruta. Kamashwan, that we don't view it that way. We look at the true value of the object, and that value of the object will determine, right, whether it's shavu pruta or not shavu pruta. So okay, until this point, right, we have a machlokas rabin Rav Yosef. Now in this second case, which is the ikadak here, machlokas rabin Rav Yosef surrounds whether you need, right, kais. Do you need a fixed amount when you're presenting something as shavu kesef? When you're presenting something as a money equivalent, does that have to have a quantifiable amount that you're presenting? Do you have to say, I'm presenting you with 50 zuz worth of tvua? Or can I say, I'm presenting you with tvua, and it's clear that it's worth more than a pruta, so it will suffice in this case to generate the kinya? Or do I have to actually give you the amount that I am presenting to you? So here's this, I can prove it to you, because we have this brisa that suggests that you can use kesef to create a kinya, and you cannot use tvua and kelim to create a kinya. Whereas he says, why not? What's the difference between kesef and tvua kelim? We know that in general that money, any place money works, shava kesef works. Monetary equivalence work. So if money works, monetary equivalent works, why in this case does monetary equivalence not work? So that's what Rav Yosef says, well, I'll tell you why. That's exactly my reasoning. That when it's not, the amount is not fixed, when you're not giving a quantifiable definition or amount to this object, it won't work to generate a kinyan. And that's why it doesn't work in the Brisa, and that's why it's not going to work here in Kiddushin. And as opposed to that, Rabbah says, no. The Brisa, when it says that it doesn't work, like Tvua and Kelim, means the Kinyan that does, the Kinyan of Tvua and Kelim, as opposed to the Kinyan of Kesef. Kinyan of Kesef is a normal, Kesef Kinyan, means I pay money, I get something. That works. But for buying an Eved Ivri, you can't use a Kinyan Chalipin. It won't work over there. And so it's over here. We know that by Kiddushin, the same thing. Kinyan Chalipin does not work. Kesef does work. And Rabbi says you don't have to quantify it. As long as it's clear that it's above the value of a Pruta, that is sufficient to generate Kiddushin over here. Now the Gemara presents another, or Rav Yosef presents another proof to his position. In this case, as Joel was mentioning before, but in this case, it's not clear which position of Rav Yosef we're supporting here. I'm Rav Yosef, but now I mean a law. Where will I prove it to you? So now, is he proving his second position, when the Ikedamim, which is that only when there's a quantifiable value to the object, you can use it as money equivalent? Or is he proving his first position, which said that when the object is worth a certain value, we still go for expert evaluation because we want the woman will not be married unless she's certain that what you're presenting to her is what you said you would present to her. So which one of those is proving? It's machlokas, right, between the mefarshim. But either way you read it, we'll see what Rav Yosef says is his proof over here. So I'm Rav Yosef.
The position of Rav Yosef is that the appraisal has to be done.
Specifically, there's a Tosafot at the bottom of Zayin Amud Bet. It specifically says that you have to do Espi Kodim Kiddushin, and he tries to figure out the whole case here. How do you have to always have it? The assessment must be done before Kiddushin, because after Kiddushin, the assessment's not meaningful, because we said the reason the woman wouldn't marry is because Lo Samcha Data. So you can't change that. Once the Kiddushin, and after Kiddushin, you can't change that. It has to be prior to Kiddushin, or have that. That's correct. So I'm Rav Yosef. No, I mean a lot. Tanya, Weber Bryce said, Egel Zele Pidyon Bini, this calf will serve to redeem my son. Talid Zele Pidyon Bini, or this cloak will be for the redemption of my son. Lo Amar Klum, it does not work. Meaning that here he presents what? He presents an object to be pulled to his child. When you pulled a child from the Kohen, your Bechor from the Kohen, you have to pay 5 slaim. So he presents objects that are worth more than 5 slaim, or worth at least 5 slaim. Right? And nevertheless, we say, what? Lo Amar Klum. Egel ze b'chamesh slayim l'pidyon b'nei, talit zu b'chamesh slayim l'pidyon b'nei, b'noi padui, then b'noi padui. In that case, his son is redeemed. So then it works. So if he defines the amount or the value of the object, right, then it's fine. So now, hi pidyon hechidami. What's going on in this redemption? Ilay mitlo shavi. If it's not worth the value of 5 sela, then kokamine, right, then what's there to speak about here? Even if he says it's worth 5, it doesn't matter. That even though it's worth, since it's not fixed, since you did not quantify the value of the, right, you didn't quantify the value of the object or the egel that you're using over here, it's not, it doesn't work. So since you didn't quantify it, or, again, since you did not, even if you say it's worth 5, who says it's worth 5? Maybe you need a evaluation to assume that it is worth 5. So Margaret says, no, the olam, the lo shavi. Right, and here it's, they're not equivalent. Oh, wow. So if they're not equivalent, how can you use that for Pidyon HaBen? Pidyon HaBen requires at least 5 sela. Right? So now the Gemara says, no, Ukon de Kabel Kohen Aloy. In a case where the Kohen accepts it as a equivalent to 5 sela. So if you just present the object without quantifying the value of the object, then the Kohen can't, you can't say to the Kohen, well, you accepted it, because the Kohen didn't know, or you didn't say that this is the value. He thinks it's a down payment or a partial payment for what he's expected to get of his 5 sela. On the other hand, if you present it to him and say, this is 5 sela, if the Kohen then accepts it, then he is saying, well, either it is worth 5 sela, or if it isn't worth 5 sela, I'm accepting it as the equivalent value of 5 sela. Now, how do you know that you can have such a thing where money equivalents can have subjective value? Meaning that it should be, if the requirement is 5 sela, and you pay 3 sela, right, it doesn't work. Right? Because then you know it's not 5 sela. How come when I present you with an object, and I say it's worth 5 sela, and it's not, all of a sudden it can be worth 5 sela? How do we know that there's a difference between Kesef and maybe Shavu Kesef, where the subjectivity has impact on that? So Hekumar says, well, I can prove that to you. Kiha, Rav Kahana, Shakil Sudra, he purchased a hat, or a turban of sorts, right, that he took a sudra, or a turban, as payment for a pidyon haben. To me it's worth 5 sela, even though it's not true value, is not that. To me it was worth this. That's only like Rav Kahana, the Gavar Rabu, because he's a big Talmud Chacham, he's a big leader. When we violate Sudra Ration, he has to go with a covering, a head covering. I mean, that the Gemara later on in Kedushin speaks about this, that it's appropriate for people of stature, Talmidei Chachamim, always to walk with their heads covered. So therefore, since Rav Kahana needed a head covering, he had a more compelling reason to buy a head covering, and therefore it raised the value of a head covering to him as opposed to anybody else who's buying at the normal market price. But it would not work for others. Same thing as Mar Baravashi. Zavan Sudrim Ime the Rabba Mikube. He bought a turban, a head covering from the mother of Rabba Mikube. Shavia Sara 10, that was worth 10, but Placer, that it was at 13. He bought it for 13, even though it was only worth 10. Again, because it had subjective value to him. He was a, Mar Baravashi was a Talmud Chacham. Since he was a Talmud Chacham, the value of it has, there is a subjective value to him that would raise it, right, beyond what the market price for such an item is. Now, what was the problem? Right, well, what's the problem? Why can't you pay whatever you want? I mean, then why can't that pay the problem? What's the problem if you pay more than its true value? Problem is onah, right? Which is onah, that there's the Gemara has a limit to how much one may overpay for an object, right? That's up to 1/6 of the object is considered within the range of normalcy for a object's value. So here he's paying 13 for 10, he's paying 30% over, that is not 1/6. Right, so that's why the Gemara here, so it wasn't a problem of onah, because for him that was the true market value of the object at this point in time, because of the context and the situation where Talmud Chacham, right, then that was the market value, and not that here they were presenting it to him as being worth 13. Right, no, he knew it was worth 10, he paid 13 because to him it was worth 13. To anybody else who came and paid 13 for it, we'd make them reverse the transaction, because they would have been cheated in a sense, because they would be overpaying for the market value of that object. Right, Amar Rav Elazar, he actually b'mona, he says, marry me with this 100 zuz, v'natan lan dinar, and he gives her a down payment of 1 dinar. Hari zumi kudeshet v'yashlim. She's married, and then he's got to fill in the other 99. My time, I came into Amar Rav Mana v'yavila dinar. Right, why is this? Because since he said, I'll give you 100, he gave her 1. Command Amar Rav Mana t'dami. It's as if on condition, meaning that he ate it tonight in the condition. The condition is, I'll marry you with the first dinar, and then I owe you, and in addition to that, Amanat, on condition, I give you another 99. Anybody who says on condition, Sukun is saying from now, that the condition is effective immediately, and that the rest will come afterwards. It's now embedded in the condition. Is that really true? He says, marry me with this money, and then he goes out and he starts, dealing at 1, 2, 3, 4. And either party wants to reverse the position. Until you reach the 100th dinar, you can reverse the kiddushim. You don't have to accept the kiddushim. He says, no, how come my skin and dumber of a mana zoo? In the case here, he says, with this mana. When he says, with this mana, right, then she is focused on this exact mana, and you better get me the whole mana before I have the kiddushim. So when it says, v'adam yisefu b'mana zoo, reisha b'mana stam, right, if the safe of this price, which we're going to see, right, is a case of Monazu, then it sounds like the ratio, the case that we just said, was not in a case with Monazu. The Katani Seifa, the rest of this price says, I'm like, actually, be Monazu. He says, marry me with this money. We need some money, Chaser Dinar, and he found out the 100's missing 1 dinar, or Dinar Shal Nechoshet, or there was a copper dinar instead of a Dinar Shal Kesef in there, of silver, and a Mikudeshet, then she is not married. So now the Gemara will come back to this in a second. Dinar Ra, is a Mikudeshet, Yachlif. If it's a bad coin, then he exchanges that coin and it works. The condition is a good condition. All right, we'll leave that aside. Tomorrow we'll come back to that. Lo, Mara says, no, Reisha v'seifa d'amar manazu. No, truthfully, that it is manazu in both cases. Manazu is presented. Upereisha kamefarish. That latter case is explaining the case before. Rotza achad mechem lachzor, afilu b'dinar acharon, the reshut b'yado. That even at the last time, when he's counting at the 100, the last dinar, they can reverse their positions. Why? Ketza, gilom d'amar la manazu. When he says that it's this mana that I'm marrying you with. Bachanami misnabro, that makes sense. The isakodat chareisha b'manastam, if you think the case is where he says a mana, that if you don't say, if in a case where I just say I'm going to marry you with this 100, and then I didn't say zoo, this one in particular, and then that doesn't work, of course, when you say manazu, it's not going to work. What do I need another part of the mission to tell me manazu is? So when it says ishumha, that's not a good proof. Lo yiria, tana seifa. The last case of Manazu comes to teach you the case before is Manastam. If I hadn't had the last case to say that it was Manazu, I wouldn't have known the case before is a case of Manastam. Shlo Tomar, Reisha, but Manazu. About Manastam, Abba Kedushin, and Manastam would work. So Tana Seifa, but Manazu. Michlau, the Reisha, but Manastam. So he wrote Manazu to teach us the first case of the case of Manastam. But okay, love Kedushin. Nevertheless, it is not a Kedushin. Right, so that, so based on this, the Gemara says that there's a difference between, right, when he says manazu, right, if he says manazu, right, then you can't, until the last coin gets to her, it's not a good kiddushin. If he just says mana, he can actually leave a mana, and he puts down a down payment, then it becomes like a tnai, a condition in the kiddushin. The kiddushin are effective immediately. The condition is that I will pay you the remaining amount that I owe you. That's the way the Gemara is learning at this point in time. Now, Rav Ashi presents a different possibility. Rav Ashi Amar, mana v'olech shiny. When I'm counting it out in front of you, that's a different situation. The data akule. Because then her dat is on the whole amount. Meaning that if I was to present you and say, I will give you 100 zuz, and we'll marry, and then he hands her one dinar, and she knows she's not getting the other 99 till later, she's mikadesh herself with the dinar, and she says in the future, the condition of this condition being effective would be that I get presented 99 dinar later on. But if he starts counting out in front of her, you know, he's about to pay, he goes, all right, 1, 2, 3, 4. She doesn't assume that my kiddushin is on the first dinar and he'll just keep paying me. No. She's looked, watching him count. She thinks he's going to 100 to get her to have the kiddushin. Until he gets to 100, there won't be kiddushin because the situation, the context, indicates that he's not paying her one dinar with a tznai on the other part. He's paying her as if he's going to give her the whole amount right now. So now the Gemara wants to dissect the other part of that braisa. What's the case when you have a copper dinar? If she knows about it, that's for you, Joel. She accepted it. She accepted the copper coin, that's enough, meaning that it works. No, there's a case where they gave it at night, so she couldn't see the coin. She's handed 100 dinar at night. Right? And she thinks she got 100 dinar kesef. Then she looks up in the morning, she sees that one of them is made out of copper. Right? Or, here's a pile of 100 dinar, and all of a sudden she's looking through the pile of money, and she sees there's one copper coin in there. Hi, dinar ra, hey, kidami. So what's the case of a bad coin? If the coin is no longer accepted as valid currency, right, then there's nothing to speak about. I know dinar shakhon nechoshet. That's the equivalent of copper coins, where they're not used dinar shakhon nechoshet. So I'm a papa, kagon denafik, ayde the chak. There's a coin that's used, and somebody might accept it, or if you press them hard, they might take the coin as coinage. So it's coinage in a push comes to shove situation, but in general commerce, people would not accept this as a coin. So therefore, again, it's a valid kiddushin because it has monetary equivalent, or it's like a dinar, and he's to swap it out to make, you know, because that's what he promised her 100, and we want to make sure that she gets a 100 that is usable and ready to be used. So again, quickly, just to review this, right, we have two cases. We have the presentation by Rabbi Elazar, that if you say you're marrying me with this 100 and he hands over one dinar, it's a valid kiddushin, and he has to give the other 99 later. I mean, there's no reversing out of it. The kiddushin's done when he hands you the first dinar, he can't get out of it. But Bryce that says the opposite, that if he says, I'm going to give you 100 mana, or 100 mana, 100 zuz, 100 dinar, that until he gives the 100, it doesn't work. So we have two possibilities to explain the difference. One is mana stam, mana zu. If he says mana zu, you got to give the full 100. If he says mana stam, then he means, I'm going to give you a part of it now, and the rest will be a tznai, will be a condition in the kiddushin. The other possibility with Zavashi's position is how I'm giving it to you. If I say I'm going to give you 100, and then I hand you one, she knows I'm not giving any more, so she's mekadesh with that one, and the rest is a tznai. If he's sitting there counting out the money, right, that means that I'm going to 100. If I'm going to 100, we need the full 100. And we say when you get 100, it's really got to be 100. If you have copper coins in there, so silver coins, this kiddushin fails because you didn't give her what you said you were going to give her. Right? Again, if she knows about it and accepts it, then it's fine. But if she doesn't know about it, then the kiddushin are not valid. And again, if there's something that's questionable, we say, like, al-yidei ad-chak, then that's a good kiddushin. You just have to swap it out. Right? Next case. Amar Rabbi Amar of Nachman. Amar la, hitkatsu li bimono. Says marry with 100 mana, and then he gives her a collateral for that 100 mana. So ena mikudeshi, she is not married in this instance. Why not? Mana inkan, mashkon inkan. He didn't give her money. So if he didn't give her money, they're not married. And the mashkon, he didn't give her towards keep. He doesn't hand her the mashkon to keep. He hands the mashkon as collateral that he will pay her in the future. She has nothing. So she has neither the mashkon nor the money. So what is she marrying with? There's no value that she has here that can marry. Wait, we have a right explicit brisa kitcha b'mashkon mikudeshet. If you get married with a mashkon with collateral, it works. Tzmar says hatam b'mashkon da'achirim. That's if you're using someone else's collateral to marry. But the Rabbi Yitzchak, says, I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Man, the balchov shukon mashkon. How do you know that a balchov? How do you know that a creditor, when he's given a mashkon, actually acquires that mashkon and becomes his? Shemar ulachah. right? That for you, this will be etzdaka. What does that mean, for you to be etzdaka? When you return the mashkon to the poor person, so he can use it at night for his bed, or if he uses his cloak during the day, or his tools during the day, that'll be for you etzdaka. Right? If you may no kone, etzdaka minayin. If it's not yours, what type of etzdaka is this? Meaning that you only can give tzedakah from your own property, your own possessions. If it's not yours, you're not giving tzedakah. So how do we know? So the chati tzedakah can only be, if what? If you own it, mikan lechalov, shekone mashkon. From here we see that a bal chov actually acquires a mashkon. So, value. And something that has value, right, she can do it. She can collect a loan with it. She can do something with it. Once you, someone presents you with collateral, and so that collateral will now gain you the ability to collect on a loan, it has value. And that's worth something to you. You have some certain amount of ownership on it. That's Tosfos says over here. If he presents it to her and says, you're mekudeshim with this mashkon, it'll work. Because then he's using the mashkon as value. But over here, he's presenting the mashkon not as value to her. He's presenting it as a way to make sure that in the future he'll pay the 100 money that he promised he would marry her with. Mashkon not as in place of the 100 money that he promised her. He's giving her a mashkon to ensure that he'll pay the 100 money later on.
But not a real mashkon. If she would be getting it as it's a real mashkon, then it would be considered as a
version. No, it has value. And if he says, I'll marry you with the mashkon, it has value, but that's not what he told her. He told her, I'll marry you with 100. He didn't give her 100. He gave her a mashkon, right?
Okay.
That's the problem here. You're right. You are right that there is value, and he could marry her with the mashkon if he hands her the collateral as money. Mm-hmm. But he's not handing her. He's handing her. He said, I marry you with 100, and he didn't hand her 100. He handed the collateral to say you can get the 100 later on. Mm-hmm. That's it. Hey, Rav Huna Bar, they bought a maidservant with money. Right, love about Dayu, but at the time they bought it, they didn't have money. So if you had money, you could buy it as a Kenyan, right? Because Avodim are nickname, Evan Kanani's nickname, Bekesef. So they could have made a Kenyan had they paid for it. In the meantime, they gave collateral, they gave a piece of metal as collateral that they would buy. So Piyaka Amta, in the end, the price of the maidservant went up. The market price went up. That's according to Rabbi Ami, they came before Rabbi Ami. Amarlo, Prita Inkan, Nashka Inkan. Right, you didn't. You failed to pay for her to have a kinyan, and a mashkon doesn't generate a kinyan on the evit, because you're not giving the mashkon again to pay for the evit. You're giving a mashkon to say that you will show up with the money later on. So you're lacking a kinyan. When you lack kinyan, there's a failure, and then he could raise the price on you, and you have no choice but to pay the higher price. Right, so that's the equivalent of our case by kiddushin. Again, not to say that the mashkon doesn't have value, but to say that when you present the mashkon, you're not presenting it as buying with the mashkon. You're using the mashkon to say I will present the money later on. Tarabana, it's actually been one. You marry me with this money, with this 100 zuz, and he takes it and throws it into the ocean. Oh, or she throws it into a fire, the chod of our avet, and then loses it. In that case, she's not married. Hasha ditu kamei, have a kiddushin. Suggesting that if she throws it on the floor in front of him, that would work. So when it says, she throws it on the floor, she's saying, I don't really want it, and she's chucking it back on the floor. So when it says, lo mi bai, sha ditu kamei, in a case where she throws it in front of him, it certainly doesn't work, have a kiddushin. But if she throws it into the ocean or into the fire, now she'll be responsible to repay that back to him. She just lost his money. Now she's going to repay it to him. With that loss and that obligation she's going to have to pay, she will make Kadesh Namun. And why is she doing this? Sabra ibdekei lahau gabri ivatchana huolo. I'll check out if this guy is a cop gun, if he's angry, he gets angry. If I throw his stuff away, what is he going to do? Right? So Kamash Malon, no, that's not the case. And we say that she's not mekudeshet. How is this different than the case we had yesterday? Right? We had a case yesterday that even if she doesn't, even if you don't have the tame money of the plony, if you say give the money to someone else, right, it works. So why is it over here? Why can't you throw it away? And we're going to see in the next case again, and I'll explain to you why it's different. So he says, marry me with this mana. It's named La'abu La'abicha. Even to my father or your father. Right? La'abicha. Ainam Mikudesh. It doesn't work. If he says that my father or your father will accept on my behalf, Mikudesh, then it does work. So Tana Abba La'abicha Kocha Duration. My father, to teach you the ratio, that even when she says, give him to my father, it doesn't work. Tana Abicha La'abicha Kocha Duration. When it's your father, then it doesn't, in the case where we say Mikudesh, when she says, they accept on my behalf, it works. Even when she says, your father will accept on my behalf. So now, he passively be mana to name the plony. Marry me with this mana, give them to so and so. And Mikudesh doesn't work. Amanachi Kabbalah, leave this person will accept for me. Mikudesh, it does work. The Tricha, we need this. The Ish meaning Abba Babich. If you say Abba Babich, Hatahun, the Chiam Ramanachi Kabbalah, have a Kiddushin. If they accept on my behalf, they'll be my Shlichim. It works. The Samchadat Aloy, because she relies on them. Zabra Abdin Lishukhutai. They will do it on my behalf. I don't have to ask them. They're close to me. They're relatives. They can do it for me. But Ploni lo, but this individual not. Miyashmirim Ploni, if I just mention the case by a third party, Achu the Chiyamra, it's named the Ploni lo, Abi Kedushin. If I say just give them to this person and it hasn't worked, Lo Makarva Da'at Legabe, the Mitkalei Matana. Because we don't assume that she's close enough. She has a relationship with this guy just to hand him money out of the blue. Abu Avicha, the Makarva Da'at Legabe, who are going to be relatives or will be relatives, Ema Abu Matana Yagilaneo, that she would give such a gift to them. So therefore, Tzricha, we need it in both of these cases. All right, now the last case here, Tan Rabbanan, Yitkach Libi Mono, marry me with this mono, it's name Agabe Sela, and Mikudesh says, put them on this rock over there, they are not, no Kedushin. If it's her rock, Mikudesh, it works. Rashi says it works because it's her chatzir, and her chatzir can be kona on her behalf. Tosa says it works because that she's so mechdat on that. And if it's her Sela, she relies on that being that the Kedushin are being given to her. If it belongs to both of them, what's the state? Where it says take, we don't know. All right, if you marry me with this piece of bread, she goes, give it to the dog. It doesn't work. But if it's her dog, it works. You have a dog that's chasing her down the road. Because he's going to save her life from this wild dog chasing her. She'll give herself over and she'll be Mekadesh him with it. You have an alternative obligation, Mina Torah, to save me. And the fact that you saved me is not is your obligation, Mina Torah. It's not generating value here that I'm going to marry with, and therefore I won't be married. Take in the last case is actually the kikar. Marry me with this loaf of bread. Says nail the ani, give it to the poor person. She's not mikudeshet. Even though a poor person relies on her, my taimo amralei, she will say to him, just like I'm obligated to support this ani, you're also obligated to support the ani, so therefore you haven't generated value to me because you're just discharging your own obligation to support the ani by not generating value towards me. That is something that I would be mitkadesh with. Again, okay, so Tosfos and Rashi both deal with this because over there she specifically demands that she gives it to a third party. When she makes the demand that I give it to a third party, then the value, when he gives it to the third party, listens to her instruction, that's considered value for mitkadushin. Over here, he's presented the kadushin, and when he presented her, he goes to over here. So her saying, don't give it over there, means that she could be really rejecting the condition or saying, no, I don't really want it. As opposed to when she makes the demand, then it's clear that's what she wanted me to cover up, and that's good.